Glory to God. Be opening up your Bibles to a place it's never been before, Mark 11. Wednesday night, we had a very interesting service. I had a good time. How many of you know God has a sense of humor? I was teaching on, I think the title we put on that was Aggressive Faith. And just in the course of teaching it, I just mentioned that I've learned that when you feel the anointing, that's like a bonus. I know the anointing is there whether I feel it or not, you know. And so I was just giving a couple of examples. But God has a sense of humor. So because I said it that way, you know what happened in the prayer line? His anointing fell on me so hard I could hardly stand up. Doug Zanster was helping hold me up so I could pray for people. You know? God has a sense of humor. It's funny. He's funny. If you get to know him, you'll like him. But now the other thing that happened is that message on aggressive faith. And we used mainly the illustration of the woman with the issue of blood who had, we may look at her again today, who had suffered many things of many physicians, but she'd had that disease for 12 years. And I'm sure the physicians did everything they could, but she just got worse, and finally she was broke, had no more money. And I'm not an expert in the law, but I've listened to those that kind of are, and I've been told that because of that issue of blood, it wasn't really legal for her to leave the house and go out in public. Yet, a phrase that we read by too quick, it says, she had heard of Jesus. See, and whoever she heard of Jesus through, heard in such a way it put faith in her. Faith in her to go past the customs and traditions and the law itself. And she made a decision no longer to sit on her blessed assurance and have passive faith. She said, I'm leaving this house. I'm going to find him. I'm going to touch the hem of his garment. And she said within herself, and I shall be healed. Isn't that a good message? Aggressive faith, you know. You can have whatever the Word says you can have. So I taught that. And those of you that, you know, I mentioned that God had us in the right house right before we even started. We live less than 3 miles from here. It takes about 5-7 minutes for me to drive home, something like that. Now, before I got home, from the time I left the building, before I got home, I got a telephone call from a relative that I love who did not know what I taught, did not know the message that I taught, had no way of knowing that. But the reason for the phone call is that person was telling me they'd just been, let me just say it this way. They were calling to share some things with me, a testimony that shows how God is in control. And it doesn't really matter what you pray, and you'll die when He decides you'll die, and you'll be healed if He decides you're healed. And I mean, it was just a blatant attack through someone I love very much. And I thought, if the devil is that afraid of this message, he just threw a bone to a bulldog. You know? So we're going to do her again. We're going to take another step. Is that okay with you? If we're coming into revival, it's not going to be through a bunch of people sitting around doing nothing, not using our faith, not being aggressive and acting like the master, that we're being conformed into his image. Amen? So a good place to start would be Mark 11. Now, some of you may have one of those Hagen 11 Bibles. I started out with one of those, and I thank God I did, because if it hadn't been for the teaching I learned from that man, I would have died of cancer in 1990, 2 years before we ever found this church. So don't throw out the baby with the bathwater just because there's been some excess, okay? You need the word of faith is the word of faith. The word of faith which we preach, the Apostle Paul said. All right, anyway, Mark 11. Starting in verse 22, are you surprised? Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. And that's okay, but that's really not the most accurate translation of the Greek words there. I'm not a Greek scholar, but again, I study those that are. The literal meaning of those words is, have the faith of God. In modern times, we would probably say it this way, have God's own faith. The picture I get when I read it that way is God saying, Gary, are you tired of living by your faith? Boy, am I tired of that. He says, you know, I'm going to put a zipper on your spirit. I'm just going to take a zipper and open you up, and we're going to take out your weak, puny faith. And I'm going to give you my faith. I'm going to zip you back up and see if you can make it then. Glory to God. That's what he's talking about here. You know God believes His Word? Did you know it's Him watching over His Word to perform it? How would we function if we had God's own faith? Well, let's see now. How did God create the worlds? He spoke. And the Holy Spirit moved. So when right after he says, well, have God's own faith or have the faith of God, he starts telling us how to do that. So here's verse 23. I'm going to read it the modern way first. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall cry about his mountain. We talked about the tumulters Wednesday night. The tumulters. Remember when J.R.'s daughter was dead? They found that tumulters. We have a lot of tumulters in the church. And what they tumult about is their mountain. And they don't really realize they're doing it. They've just been trained by man instead of God. Did I say that out loud? Been trained by religion instead of by God's Spirit. So they want to talk about God. They want to talk about their mountain and how God's not moving it. Then you want to compare their mountain with your mountain. They're kind of hoping their mountain is bigger than your mountain. So you can have pity on them. I don't want your pity. I want God's power. Amen? All right. Verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto the mountain. I remember Norval one time in the early days when I was learning these principles. Norval, he had a little conversation with God one time, and God told Norval. He says, everybody prays to me, asking me to speak to their mountain. And I didn't tell them to ask me to speak to their mountain. I told them to speak to their mountain. You're to learn to speak to the mountain in Jesus' name, and it will obey you. No, God's sovereign. He does what He wants. That mountain will move no matter your faith, no matter what you do. Oh, phooey! That is not the gospel. That's religion to the 10th power. They're nice, sweet people deceived by religion. Hold your place right there. Go to John 14 just for a moment. This may be, the older I'm in this, well, I won't say it that way. I started to say this may be one of the most... They're all important verses. I can't just pick one. But I will tell you this. The verse we're about to look at may have been the most singular, most life-changing verse that delivered me from the doctrines I grew up with. And I'm talking about the religious doctrines. Thank God where I grew up, they preached Christ and Him crucified. Thank God you could get saved there. But right about there is when you needed to leave and go somewhere else where they knew what they was talking about. I'm telling you, it's the truth. I love them. I love them to this day. But man, tell me, teach so much junk. That doesn't mean they're not going to make heaven. As long as you keep the foundation of Christ and Him crucified, you can pile all kinds of false doctrine on top of that foundation. And it'll burn in the day of judgment, you know, wood. What do you call it? Wood, hay, stubble. It'll burn, but you yourself will be saved as though you may have smell and smoke on you. But you yourself will be saved, you know. Well, I don't want to pile a bunch of wood, hay, and stubble on there. I want gold and jewels and precious stones. Amen? Well, this verse, it's John 14, verse 9. And the Holy Ghost reminded me of two homework assignments that He's given us in the last few times that I've ministered. Help me remember not to tell you about that in a minute. I want to read the verse first, though. Verse 9. We'll start in verse 8. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. It'll satisfy us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Many years ago, before I ever heard of assimilation, before I ever heard of Dave, well, I'd heard of him, but we saw him one time at Grace Fellowship back in the about 1981, I think. But what I'm saying is, long before I was ever taught anything about assimilation, I got a homework assignment from the Holy Ghost, and it was based on this verse. See, and I've seen all kinds of bad things happen in my life, you know. You be on the planet over 6 decades, you're going to see bad stuff. And religion tries to fuse circumstances with the Bible to make you feel better about having so little power. God, you're making me say stuff. Well, it's true, you know. You prayed, that person died. You know, well, it's just not always God's will to heal anybody. Trouble is, you got to throw Matthew 17 out of your Bible if you say that. See, Matthew 17, okay, I got to follow him, okay? If we've seen him, we've seen the Father. I have prayed for people and they died. I hate that. I don't like that. Okay? And I feel bad when that happens. How many of you want me to pray for you right now? I'm teasing. And something in you wants comfort. Well, that makes you an easy candidate for, well, you know, that's where the verses start. You know, they'll pull verses out of its context. You know, the hidden things, they belong to the Lord. That's out of context. Well, you know, it's eye hath not seen nor ear heard things, and so on and so on. And they'll say, well, it's just not always God's will to heal everybody. Maybe this and maybe that, and I won't try and go into all. The trouble of it is, if you see, one of the homework assignments that we've received in the last 2 or 3 weeks, I didn't come up with it. It came while I was under the anointing. Is you yourself start reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, 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 until an image of Christ rises up off of those pages and walks into your heart. Here's some things you're going to find when that happens. Not one person ever came to Jesus for healing that they did not get what they came for. Not once. Now, if he says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father, then that tells me that when they tell me it may not just be God's will to heal all of them, that's not the Jesus I see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I know you have good intentions, but I don't think you're telling me the truth about the Father God. Because if I've seen Jesus, I've seen Him. How about that one? Well, it may not be His will to heal you now. There's a timing of God. Well, of course, they'll draw out some truth, you know, like, you know, there's a season. They'll draw out Ecclesiastes, a time for this and a time for that, you know. Trouble of it is, I've did my homework. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Over and over and over. And if there's any truth to that, then there should have been at least one time when somebody came to Jesus for healing. And he said, well, I want to heal you. And Father wants to heal you. Let's even give you that. Trouble is, he just doesn't want to heal you today. Yeah, you know that's not in there. Come back in 3 weeks and we'll check again, you know. You know that. See, it's ridiculous. It makes us laugh. But when they couch it in those religious terms and you're hurting and looking for some kind of excuse to help salve, make your conscience feel better after you prayed and they didn't get healed. Oh, yeah, I'll jump on that one. It's not his timing, sure. Trouble if it is, it won't fly. You don't ever see Jesus saying that, not one time. That's not so. Well, it's not always His will to heal everybody. Here we go, Matthew 17. You don't have to turn there this time. Dave is every fasting season. He's beat us to life with that verse, you know, that passage. Every year. Oh, anyway. See, you know what happened? Jesus and three of the disciples are up on the mountain, and while they're up on the mountain, this daddy brought his boy to the remaining disciples to be healed. He had, the King James says lunatic, some modern translations say epilepsy, but it was something that caused, I mean, fits. This kid would have fits, wallow on the ground and foam at the mouth. And it said that thing would throw him in the water, throw him in the fire, try and destroy him. So, like a good father, he brought him to the disciples. And if you do your homework, you'll find out they had already been healing the sick. They had already been casting out devils. It's not like they didn't have a track record. They did. And they did everything. I'm sure they did everything they knew to do. They shouted. They used the name. They spit. They jumped. Maybe they jumped over the front pew. Everything they've ever seen a Pentecostal preacher do. I don't know. I'm teasing. Okay. I'm just saying they did everything they knew. And the boy was not healed. See, and if the story ended there, then we could have justification for that doctrine. Well, maybe. Maybe it's just not always his will to heal. See, if the story ended there. Well, thank God the story doesn't end there. Who shows up? Jesus comes down off the mountain. He is not happy with what he's seeing. He says, what's going on here? Well, this daddy brought this boy and... No, the daddy's talking. I brought my son to your disciples and they tried to heal him and they couldn't do it. And then he says, if you read the other accounts besides Matthew, he says, if you can do anything, help us. Jesus turns right around to him and says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Then the guy says, well, now I have been here. Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. He will do that too. He will do that. So Jesus, he takes the boy and in short order, he heals him. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What was the Father's will the whole time? To heal that boy. Don't let religion tell you otherwise. Nobody came to Jesus that didn't get what they came for. They all got what they came for. Even those that did not have a covenant with God at the time. The 8:30 service, they played that message I did back in 2010 called Intercession by Faith. And the two examples there is the Roman centurion. This is a Roman guy. He does not even have a covenant with God at the time. Now, this is before the cross. Yet he came to the Word. You got to understand who Jesus is. He is the Word with legs. The prophets kept saying, this is who God is. God is a healer. God is a blesser. God is this and God is that. And nobody was really believing it. And so God sends His Son not to tell us so much, but to show us who God is. Not just to say God's a healer. I'll show you His healing. And I'll show you His will every time. That's why we can have faith. And if it doesn't happen when you pray, sadly, we're going to get the same answers that the disciples got when they asked. Why didn't it happen when we prayed? Because of your unbelief. I didn't think I had any. Well, you do. What should I do about it? This kind of unbelief, this kind, cometh not out. But by prayer and feasting, those... Prayer and fasting. Well, that's a real popular message. It's how you build a big church. I heard one person, I can't remember now really who it was. It's one of the preachers that in fellowship with this church. And he says, I guarantee you give me a church of 500 people, I'll preach this message and whittle it down to 50 before you can hardly tell it. But see, eventually when revival breaks out, when real revival breaks out, it'll be innumerable. Because you won't be able to keep the people away. You will not be able to keep the people away. It's all right. Jesus changed the world starting with 12. The church started with 120 in the upper room. Hallelujah. We're in good company. Well, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Well, that's one of the homework assignments. That's one of the two that we've received in the last few weeks. If you're still dealing with any of those religious things, like maybe it's not always His will to heal everybody, or no, it's just all His timing, or any of that stuff, you haven't seen Him yet. The image of Christ, who is the image of the Father, He is the express image of God. He has not yet walked off those pages into your heart and soul yet. You don't really see Him. And if it's our unbelief, that's really good news. Because I can't change God. I can't change the devil. I don't even want to change His Word. Couldn't if I wanted to. But glory to God, the good news is I can change me. And He's given me tools to accomplish that. By way of the Holy Ghost. This prayer language that bypasses all of my strongholds. Just a minute, I got to worship God just for a minute. He gave me a prayer language that bypasses my strongholds. Even my wrong doctrine. Even my wrong ego. Wrong motivations. And He'll still pray God's perfect will for me. Still search all those chambers in my heart. Doors that I've had shut so long. I won't even let myself go in there, much less you. What are they? They're none you. Every one of them, none you. I've told you about a bunch of them over the years. So, and some of them, I don't even know what's in there. You know, a lot of times we don't know why we keep making the same mistake over and over again. You know, he'll find that out too. Anyway, that's not really the message. All right, back to Mark 11. We've hardly got started here. I'm trying. I like it when he throws a bone to a bulldog. Now I know what to do. I know where he's afraid then, see. He's afraid you're going to rise up in faith. Start crumbling his kingdom. Getting people saved, healed, filled with the Holy Ghost. Perverts become preachers because they're not perverts anymore. God's an expert at changing people. Hallelujah. Mark 11:22. Have the faith of God. How would I start operating in that? For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, speaks directly to the problem, be thou removed. Plain English. Go away. Leave. Be cast into the sea. You know what that means? If it's cast into the sea, you can't even see it anymore. It sank below the waves. Can't even tell where it was. That mountain is gone. And shall not doubt in his heart. That word heart is so important. Does not say mind. It says heart. It's deeper than your mind. I'm telling you right now, I have won so many faith battles with doubts in my mind like machine gun bullets. Thoughts coming so fast. Time I was given 6 months to live with melanoma cancer. I can't even, literally, it would have been thousands of thoughts that came telling me how I was going to die. And I still won. Because I didn't doubt in my heart. See, you can have faith, my brother. Here's normal. Faith, my brothers and sisters, is of the heart, not the head. Knowledge is of the head. Faith is of the heart. You got that? Doubt not in his heart. A lot of times you just got to tell your mind to shut up. And especially you got to tell your tongue to shut up. Someday, I haven't totally got this together, but I think I'm going to do a message called The Art of Shutting Up. Great victory through the art of shut up. Don't let your mouth destroy your victory. Say to the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea. Cancer, leave my body. That's if it's attacking you. Somebody came to you for prayer. Cancer, you leave their body. In Jesus' name. By the authority of Him whom all power in heaven and earth, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto Him. Therefore you go. Glory to God. And shall not doubt in his heart, Now here it is. It only works for these people. Shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. The woman with the issue of blood, what did she keep saying? Like, touch the hem of his garment. See, that's called a point of contact to release your faith. That's okay. For me, it's usually the moment I pray. That's why I keep a ring binder. I know what day, what hour, I know when I pray. That's the moment I release my faith to believe I receive what I prayed for. Okay? And I can refer back to it. I received that day right there. I've already prayed. You heard me. I'm not going to ask again like you're not real or like you didn't hear me. I know you did. And I'll have it too. See, I believe what I say comes to pass. Now, that doesn't mean you can't tell jokes. Have y'all noticed Pastor Dave? I don't know anybody who walks in this really better than him. I mean, I've seen more miracles at this church than any place I've ever been in my life. How many of you have seen miracles here? I mean, good Lord. I remember that guy that was right about here in a chair that they brought from Oklahoma City that was all crumpled up, you know. And the doctors had already done, if I remember right, 3 surgeries on his back. And they said, there's nothing else we can do for the guy. I mean, so modern science plainly says that you got to live with this the rest of your life. But how many of you know God has a different report than that? Dave prays for the guy, just simple little prayer. I didn't see lightning flashes or hear thunder roll. He just prayed for the guy and walked off, started ministering to somebody else. But he was, you know, I was sitting right in front of where Mark is now, and I had a direct line of sight to this guy. And I'm just watching him, you know. In a little while, he starts straightening up in that chair. He's almost looked like he was drugged or something. I mean, he's kind of looking around like in a haze. And a little bit, the guy stood up. Supposedly he can't do that. He stands up and he just starts slowly, like walking around over here. So he starts walking this way. He's kind of like, where am I? You know, and I don't even know what he was seeing. He wound up walking. Dave just keeps ministering, you know. The guy winds up walking all the way around the building and comes back. And Dave says, are you aware you're walking? Or something. I'm not. That guy, we watched him unfold like a flower in the springtime. Then he came back about 2 weeks later and gave his real testimony. He walked right up here like anybody else, gave his testimony and told how the doctors had nothing they could do, but the great physician had come and healed him. So I've seen miracles. Well, how many of you know Dave tells those corny jokes all the time? And they're healing. They're good. It's a humor that's good, see? That doesn't mean you can't have fun. But what it does mean is you can't be a liar. See, I try not to make eye contact with any one person because people go, well, did he mean me? No. I got to look somewhere. Well, you can't all the time be talking trash, lying, gossiping, slandering. And if you do, repent quickly. You got to become a person. I remember my dad now. My dad, thank God for O.R. Carpenter. Good Baptist daddy all the days of his life, did his best with me. I have no excuses. I had really good parents. My dad would catch me lying. See, it's bad enough if I did something wrong. We're talking old school. My daddy understood how to apply the board of discipline to the seat of understanding. Whap, whap. Okay. But he'd tell me, he said, boy, now if you do something wrong, you're gonna get spanked for it. But if you lie to me, boy, you're going to get spanked harder for the lying than for what you did. Because listen to me, boy, listen to me. Your word is all you got in this life. If your word is no good, you're no good. If God's word is no good, he is no good. How many of you know? Thy word is truth. Forever, O Lord, thy word is established. Amen? God is good. His word is good. And he's making us into a people where our word is good. And we've got to come to the place ourselves that what we say, even if you swear to your own hurt, even if you promise something and you wished you hadn't have, the Bible says one of the things God honors is a man who will swear to his own hurt and change not. One time, we learned over time, you know, my dad started a construction business, and he'd worked for construction companies always before, but now, you know, you're the head honcho, and you know, you learn by experience. Well, my dad, in the beginning, he didn't even want to have a written contract. He was, you know, your word is your bond. And so, you know, you shake hands, that's good enough. You don't need anything else. He found out in this day and age, you need more. But anyway, I remember we did a job. he had told a guy, you know, okay, we'll put in this driveway for zama-zama dollars, however much it was. And they agreed on it. Well, once we got to excavating for that driveway, we run into bedrock. Usually bedrock is not at the surface like that, but it was here. Something that we should have been able to do in about 4 hours, excavating for that. It was a big circle drive over in the nice part of town. Something we should have been able to do in about 4 hours with a Bobcat tractor took us about 2 weeks. We lost our shirt. We had to get jackhammers, and they wouldn't let us blast, so we had to get jackhammers in there. And a whole bunch of guys on jackhammers, and went on for like 2 weeks. We're losing thousands. I don't know how many thousands my dad lost on that job. Now, he learned later in, you do get wisdom with experience. He learned later on to put a rock clause in a contract. If we hit rock, you know, we're going to have to renegotiate. But he didn't have it then, and his idea was, my word is my bond. He said, son, I will go broke before I'll break what I said to that man. And everybody that knew my dad, see, my mother's dad, the Indians, now, my mother's dad lived way out in the country, out beyond Seminole, Oklahoma. He never drove a car in his life. Always buggy and horses, and only went into town once every 6 months. There was 10 kids. And none of them ever went to town, but he would take butcher block paper and he'd draw their bare feet on a paper. And he'd buy their shoes and bring them back. You know, you didn't get choices. I want Nikes. No, you're going to have these black shoes and that's all you get. You know? But his word, the same deal. The Indians finally, that still lived there, I mean, they lived there 100 years ago practically. The Indians gave him a name called Steely Back Hi Hi. It says, that means man who speaks with iron tongue. Boy, if he told you something, you could take it to the bank. And he would die before he'd change his word to you. God is more like that than anybody there ever has been. We have to become a people where we believe what we say shall come to pass. Verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. What things soever you desire. Now I want you to get it straight. That centurion that had the servant, he's a Roman guy. He came based on his desire. This guy did not have a covenant with God. He wasn't, there's nothing that indicates that an angel appeared in his room and says, you should go talk to Jesus about healing your servant. No, he saw a situation. This servant that he had was really sick. And this guy had a desire for him to be healed. What things soever you desire. So what he did, he came to the Word. He could physically go to the Word. How do we go to the Word today? You pray in Jesus' name. We're going to look at it here in John 14 again in a minute. You pray whatever you ask in my name, he said. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. That's exactly what that centurion believed. If I go ask, he will do it. And it was based on his desire to see his servant healed. How about the woman that had the devil-possessed daughter? Wasn't she from Syrophoenicia or somewhere? Where? And she was from a Canaanite woman. She didn't have a covenant with God. I've come that my daughter could be healed. Well, healing is the children's bread. And all Jesus meant by that at that moment before the cross, the only people on earth that had a healing covenant with God was the Jews. And she wasn't a part of that. Said healing belongs to the children's bread. No. Healing is the children's bread. But see, she believed in a God who was bigger than that covenant. She says, yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Said in plain English, I know God is bigger than that covenant. There is healing for my daughter. I believe in a God who has healing even for my daughter. What did Jesus say? Oh, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thy daughter even as thou wilt. You know, and she was healed from that very hour. Glory to God! The devil is afraid of aggressive faith that dares to believe the red words. Do you know there's a whole move going on that a lot of people are falling for lack of a better term, I call it radical grace. And one of the things that they're teaching is that, oh, you have to be very selective when it comes to the teachings of Jesus, which ones that apply to you, because his ministry was to the Jews before the cross. And they're by that action, they're taking away like 90% of what Jesus taught. And they're saying, no, that ended at the cross. Jesus, when he sent out his disciples, okay, no, it's better for you to see it in your Bible. Go to Matthew right near the end. Just in case any of you are reading those books and are flirting with that heresy. Is that plain enough? They say, no, only the Apostle Paul had the revelation of pure grace. You have to, only read his stuff. You don't really have to pay that much attention to the teachings of Jesus. I know some of you haven't read it yet. It's very pervasive out there. Raise your hands right now and say, thank God. I'm glad I go to this church. Amen. Amen. I am too. Now look at Matthew 28:19. Now this is Jesus, virtually the last words. And he's telling his disciples what to do. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now notice he does not say, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, but don't teach what I taught. No, I'm raising up another apostle. His name is Paul. You have to wait till I get through training him and then only teach what he taught. Like Paul was teaching some different gospel from Jesus. Religion will make you stupid. You know why that grace message is so popular? Because the day you accept it, that's the day the war with your flesh ends. Well, I'm okay just like I am. I'm going to use not the ones you expect. I can just stay a child molester and I'll make heaven. No, you won't. I can just stay in adultery and make heaven. No, you won't. Now, he is loving and forgiving and compassionate and long-suffering, but you need to repent. Repent. Who came before Jesus? John the Baptist. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Repent. Those that long and hunger and thirst for righteousness, they'll be filled. Not the ones who's just looking for fire insurance. Now he'll take you right where you are. Michael, note, there's the guy that led me to the Lord right there. He knows I was a sold out to money guy. Alcohol drinking guy, smoking guy, pornography loving guy, and God took me just the way I was. But thank God he didn't leave me the way I was. And there's still change that's going on in me. I'll be different. I'll be better the next time you see me. Glory to God. He loves you. He'll take you just the way you are, but he does not intend for you to stay the way you are. He loves me too much to leave me like that. I'm so glad I'm still not that alcoholic guy. Anyway. And that was the least of my faults. Okay, back to Mark 11. Whew. See, Mark 24 really is the lead-in to the second homework assignment. The first homework assignment, if you haven't already done it, Matthew, Mark, you need to assimilate now that we have that term. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Really, the book of Acts wouldn't hurt either, but Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John mainly. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, over and over and over. I am telling you there, the day will come that he, for better lack of a better descriptive way, he will stand up off the pages of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and walk into your heart. And from that day forward, you're not going to be deceived by religion anymore when it comes to the Father and his will for you and those people you're praying for. Okay, but now verse 24 is the other homework assignment. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Say this out loud, it'll change your life. God answers my prayers. I'm warning you, it's life-changing. Say it again. God answers my prayers. Let's say it another way. When I pray, God hears. God answers. I believe I receive when I pray. And I see the results every time. If not that same day, soon. Now, soon to a God that lives outside of time is sometimes different than our soon. But you will have it. He said you'll have it. Hallelujah. Now, with that thought, okay, now, before we leave here, see, when someone is teaching real good, and then in verse 25, they use the word and, doesn't that normally mean they're not through talking yet? And. Let's not skip over this part. Now, I'll just tell you right now, I'm going to take it so y'all won't think I'm teasing. Those same books that I was telling you about, that same grace thing, they specifically say about verses 25 and 26 that you don't have to do this anymore. Yeah, they specifically say you don't have to forgive. I know. God have mercy on their soul. You know, God have mercy on them. Anyway, and when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses. Listen, foundational to this gospel, the only reason you're on your way to heaven is because the Father forgave you all your trespasses. And you are to extend that same mercy to everyone, saint or sinner. That doesn't mean that you have to. I was just talking with a young woman in her 20s recently on the phone who was shocked. She had committed adultery, hadn't been married very long, committed adultery, and was shocked when I told her that her husband had the right to divorce her. What? What? Doesn't he have to forgive me? I said, He has to forgive you, Jesus said. There's a big difference. Listen, forgiveness is free. Trust is earned. Trust is earned. You broke the trust. And even Jesus said, for that cause, adultery, he doesn't have to live a life living with somebody he don't trust. Even Jesus said, that's up to him. You better pray. Better be nice to him. Better ask forgiveness from him and God. Yeah, I can't emphasize to you enough how shocked she was. Like, what? Listen, I want to say it another way. Forgiveness is free, but there are consequences to your actions. Did you ever try and unkill somebody? Well, I guess you kill them, then you raise them from the dead. I don't know if that's going to work. There's consequences. Can murderers be forgiven? And, you know, well, sure. But normally, can they bring that person they killed back to life? No. And the families that were wrecked because of that, children that don't have a daddy anymore or whatever, there's consequences. Hallelujah. Okay, what we're going to finish up here with, verse 24. Therefore I say unto you what... Forgiveness, if none of this will work for you, none of it, if you don't become a person who learns to forgive. Now, in the early days, I didn't think I was going to, in the early days, walking with him. I didn't keep as good of records in those days as I do now. But I'm going to say within 60 days of being born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. So we're talking 1980. And man, I'm just weird. I'm just reading my Bible and praying. I mean, I'm just loving Jesus. And I didn't understand probably 5% of what I was reading, but I felt like if I didn't read that word, I was just literally going to just die, you know. And I would have, I'd have starved. But anyway, whatever the fellowship that I was having with him, he'd already dealt quickly within the first 30 days with the pornography, with the alcohol, other things. But I remember it just so clear. I came to this very passage right here. When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. Right there, he brought to my mind two people that in my mind had hurt me really bad. And I heard him just as clear. He says, now, you know you're going to have to forgive them. You're not going to go very far with me if you don't forgive them. And I'm going, God, I don't want to forgive them. In fact, I want them to die and I want to do the killing. He says, well, you're going to have to. The way he said it to me, you're not going to go very far with me. I'm not going to go very far. How many of you think I'd be in ministry today? I wouldn't be. Or let me put it this way, I shouldn't be. If I was, it'd be a man-made ministry. Something I built. But he just wouldn't leave me alone about it, see? He just wouldn't leave me alone about it. And I knew who he was talking about. The lesson today is not forgiveness, but he just wouldn't leave me alone. I remember coming to this point and said, okay. He asked me, he says, would you be willing to forgive them if I could make you willing? My engineering brain, okay, I'm not willing now, but if you could make me willing, then I guess I would be willing. Okay, yeah, that'll work, okay. I had to think about that one for a minute. How would you do that? And he said, well, every time that you just think of them, I want you to pray for them. Just pray that I bless them. That's all I want you to pray. I don't want you to bless them. And I kept thinking about it, you know. They hurt me, God. They hurt me. Now, again, if I had time to teach the whole thing, forgiveness opens up a pathway through your conscience by which the Holy Ghost can reveal truth to you. See, later on, once this process was pretty well completed and genuine forgiveness flowed from my heart, then and only then was he able to show me my part in that whole evil thing. And really, I had done worse than them. Before it was over, I was praying more for him to forgive me than to forgive them, because I was worse. Anyway. Well, you know, just every time you think of him, pray for him. Did you ever try not to think of somebody? Man. And the first time I did it, I said, okay, God, I'm asking you to bless them, and you know I don't really mean it. I just didn't not want to be a hypocrite, you know. It's all right. He didn't say a thing. I thought of him again within the hour. All right, Father, I thought of him again. I'm going to really try hard not to think of him anymore. Yeah, that really works. All right, I thought of him again. Father, I'm asking you to bless him. And you know I don't mean it. I don't know when it was. I don't know if it was that day, over the next 2 or 3 days. But just that simple baby steps of obedience. Something began to change in my heart. Something began to change. And I don't know exactly. It wasn't very long. And I thought of him again. I went, okay, God, I'm asking you to bless them. I'm calling their names before you. Oh, and I guess... I don't really want anybody to go to hell, I guess. Okay, I guess I mean it a little bit. Yeah, go ahead and bless them a little bit. It's just, you know, I'm exaggerating a little, but not very much. Sue? That's the way she does when she gets tickled. Well, anyway, he by that little process, and then it evolved, I had to forgive. And I'm telling you, he can bring you to the place where it's not just forgiveness by obedience from the mind. It eventually, He will, that love of God, He will shed it abroad in your heart, even for them. And it'll be forgiveness that's from the heart, just like He teaches. Amen? All right. Now that we said that, okay. Verse 24 again. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Now with that thinking in mind, go over to John 14. Got about 10 or 15 more minutes here. John 14. Let's go ahead and start with the verse that where we started. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Verse 8. And in verse 9, Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. I didn't originate these words. Everything you've seen, I didn't come up with it. It's the Father in me. He doeth the works. You got that? Another place he says, I have come not to do mine own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Amen? That means everything you've seen, Philip, is the Father's will. Not my will, it's the Father's will. Everything that you've seen, if you've seen me, let's say it another way, I am the perfect visual presentation of the Word of God. I am God's Word with legs. Well, God and His Word are one. God and His Son are one. I and the Father are one. Amen? I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. Now believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now I want you to notice how the next two verses correlate with Mark 11, 23-24. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And just in case they didn't get it, he says it twice. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Does that not sound like Mark 11, 24? Whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. So what was our homework assignment? Do you remember it? It was to start talking that way. Let's do it right now. Whatever I ask in His name, go ahead and say it. He does it. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. Whatever I ask in His name, He does it. What things soever I desire, when I pray, I believe I receive them, and I shall have them. I speak to the mountain. I command it to go into the sea. I command it to go. And it obeys me. Because I believe in my heart. What I say comes to pass. What I say comes to pass. I have the faith of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You're starting to scare the devil a little bit. I wonder how many of you is going to get a phone call in 10 minutes after the service. It was so quick, I couldn't believe it. On the way home, Satan comes immediately to steal the word. And came through a relative that I love so much and who meant well and had no idea what I preached. But the devil knew. See, Satan comes immediately. All right? Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Okay, John 16. Now, when it comes to, I want to say general things. Like, let's just take healing. I know now why. All they let me put on here was scriptures. I hadn't even looked at it, have I? When it comes to general things, like if somebody comes to you and they want to be healed, do you know what to do? Do you know the Father's will? Here's another thing you can put in your homework assignment. See if you can find one place where Jesus demanded that they repent before he healed them. I already did my homework. I already know the answer. Not one time. He would heal them. Then he would say, go and sin no more. One of them, he said, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Yes, there is consequences for sin. But he would heal them first and then say, go and sin no more. So what's the will? Someone comes to you for healing. Now, yes, sir. Yes, sir. For believers, the only thing we have different, is in Corinthians, where he says, for this cause, many are weak and sickly, and some have died early. You remember what it was? Divisions, strife. Divisions and strife. So there's forgiveness. For us, you do have that qualifier. That's why he put forgiveness right in there with these teachings. Okay? Now, another message he had me do recently is about something I could call divisions in the church. Just because there's division does not mean you're in error. Okay? Were they mad at Jesus? Was he wrong? Was he supposed to hold to what he said, whether they liked it, whether they didn't like it? So it's not talking about that if you're on the right side. Okay, you're supposed to hold to God's word no matter what they throw at you. But what he's talking about is strife and divisions. You know, I'm just not going to forgive. Well, you, as a Christian, you're going to have a hard time receiving your healing. You may die weak and sickly. You got that? But when it comes to especially dealing with unbelief, you know, we're the ones that's supposed to be the healed. Walking in the fullness of our inheritance. And if Red was up here right now, he says, take that anointing to the lost. That's the mission of the church. So when Red's out there in Arizona, what was the name of that? Big Nose Kate Saloon. Glory to God. Red has, and his band has sung the gospel in Big Nose Kate's. Where is that town? Tombstone, Arizona. I heard about a movie there once. Tombstone, Arizona. I just want to take off running when I just think about them playing I'm a Good Donkey. Or rockabilly. You know, playing those Jesus songs in Big Nose Kate's. Tombstone, Arizona. And if somebody comes up after that service and wants to be saved, Red, do you know the will of God? If they come up, they want to be healed and they're not saved. Do you know the will of God? What if a saved one comes up and says, you've been talking about tongues. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. See, we know the will of God when it comes to all of those things. We have the pattern. We have Jesus. If you've seen me, now you go do what I did. Today we're not talking about that leadership of the Spirit leading you in your ministry so much. Although, thank God, we're going to have a lot to say about that too. But we're talking about the givens. The baseline. I already know the will of God if you're sick. He wants you healed. I already know the will of God if you're lost. He wants you saved. I already know the will of God if you're saved and don't speak in tongues. He wants you baptized in the Holy Ghost. No matter how many religious people say, it's not His will for everybody to all speak with tongues. And if you're ignorant, you won't know how to answer it. Did I say that out loud? I did not say that out loud. Tell me I didn't say that. It's so clear. He wants them all. Don't leave town. Don't try and be my witnesses until you have received power from the Holy Ghost. It's His will for every believer to be filled with the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues. Now, not every person has the gift of tongues for interpretation in a church service. And that's what he was talking about there in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. He's talking about the gift of a tongue in a service and then an interpreter in that service. That's a different thing. Not everybody has that. But everybody's supposed to be baptized in the Holy Ghost and be able to speak with other tongues for personal edification. Thank you, Dave Roberson. Hallelujah. If I speak in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. It's a hotline between your spirit and God the Holy Ghost, which is the mind of Christ. I'm preaching good. Aren't I preaching good? Hallelujah. Okay, we're going to finish up here. I promised. John 16 here. He keeps talking about this spirit of truth here. And really what I want, we're just going to focus on the prayer. Mark 11, 24. You saw it here in John 16. Just another way of saying the same thing. John 14, 13. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Boy, that's Mark 11, 24. It's Mark 11, 24. Then he even goes further over to John 16. He says, see, up until this time, if they needed something, they would go to Jesus. He would pray and the Father would answer. But he's telling them that you're going to be born again. They don't fully understand it yet, but he knows the time's coming. You're going to be born again yourself. You won't have to come to me for answered prayer. You can go to the Father directly. And that's what he's telling them here in John 16, 23. In that day, you shall ask me nothing. You won't. In other words, you won't have to come to me to get me to pray to the Father for you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. Not maybe so. He couldn't use stronger language. He will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Come down to verse 26. He's still emphasizing that same thing. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. Glory to God. I came forth from the Father. I'm going and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. Man, oh man. And all through here, he interweaves this teaching with the Holy Ghost. See, when it comes to the givens, I know His will if you're lost. I know His will if you're sick. I know His will if you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost. Every believer should operate in those things. Okay? But I don't know His will about His personal plan for my life. I don't know the whole plan of God. I don't even know my 120 years in it. Everyone say, that's right, Gary, 120 years. Eh? I don't know my 120 years, but He knows the plan for my 120 years within the overall plan of humanity. That's when the Spirit, glory to God for the Holy Ghost. When I don't know to, see, I know how to pray as I ought if you're sick. I know how to pray as I ought if you're lost. I know those things. But when I don't know how to pray as I ought, that's when the Holy Spirit, He begins making intercession for me with groanings that can't be uttered. And He will make intercession, pray God's perfect plan for my life. He has not left me as an orphan. Did you get anything out of that? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that we have faith. We have the faith of God. All right, do this. Just pretend. Cole, when he was little, he'd say, Papa, can you pretend? Do like, act like we're going to take a zipper. Say, okay, I'm unzipping this zipper off my spirit. My faith is coming out. I'm not so crazy about it. God says, I can have your faith. God, I'm receiving your faith into my spirit. And I'm zipping that back up. I'm going to talk like you. I'm going to believe like you. and I'm going to have the results that Jesus had. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The enemy is afraid of this message. The whole message. Praying in tongues, fasting, worship, confession of the word, and operating in faith. Amen. Hallelujah. All right.